This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. The port dispute on the West Coast faces a deadline today that could bring deadlocked negotiators to Washington, D.C. for possible federal mediation. The business at the affected West Coast ports could also be moving east as well, with a widened Panama Canal opening next year and increasingly clogged rail lines crossing the country carrying domestic oil supplies. Shipping companies are looking to rely less on West Coast ports and more on ports in Newark, Savannah, Georgia, and Houston. Stan Payne is a longtime senior executive with broad experience in the public and private sides of the port industry. He's a principal with the management consulting firm Summit Strategic Partners. He's on the line from Melbourne, Florida. Stan, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, John.
So how much urgency is there to shift away from the maybe less than reliable West Coast ports in light of this labor dispute?
Well, people need to understand that this happened in 2002 as well. There was a 10-day lockout at West Coast ports, and it's still being debated whether that caused, you know, significant permanent shifts in cargo patterns. I think the consensus is it may have caused some shifts, but nothing significant.
Although there's a lot of competition between ports in terms of technology, access to routes, that sort of thing, certainly a lot of ports would love to get their hands on the Long Beach and Los Angeles trade.
Everyone's going to be competing for it. They have been actually preparing for a number of years as East Coast harbors get deepened, bridges get raised, infrastructure on the land side is built up. So everyone has been preparing for it in one way or another, but in the guise of the expanded Panama Canal.
And what does that mean, the expanded Panama Canal? What does widening the Panama Canal do?
It means that you're going to get bigger ships that are able to go from Asia through the canal to the east coast of the United States. You know, you don't have those issues for the West Coast ports. They handle larger ships. But East Coast ports have had that one restriction. And, you know, is it going to be a game changer? Not likely, but is it going to have an effect? Yes.
And there are ports that will begin to benefit as the leverage on the West Coast becomes less and less. And depending on this, how this federal mediation turns out, what ports are first in line to benefit from even small amounts of trade coming away from the West Coast?
Well, you, of course, look to New York and New Jersey. You look at going down the coast at the major ports. You look at Norfolk and Hampton Roads. You have aggressive ports in Savannah and Charleston. And, you know, that's proliferating along the East Coast, thinking more and more like businesses. The West Coast ports are going to have to step up and think like businesses as well, despite a structure that you know, sort of restricts them in doing that.
How much of the West Coast leadership in the port system in the United States comes from their technology and their smarts, business smarts, and how much of it comes from the fact that just most of the stuff is coming from East Asia?
Well, you know, I've been preaching for probably the last 5 years that ports need to take a more business-oriented approach to their operations. We're seeing a little bit of that now. You're seeing it especially in Savannah and Charleston. But by and large, my feeling is West Coast ports have benefited from where they are and the fact that they have naturally deep harbors. And eventually, you know, they have to embrace, in my opinion, something more like a business approach in dealing with the business that they have to anticipate problems. And it's not just labor, but it's congestions that's not caused by labor.
So a labor dispute really underscores the competition between East and West Coast ports. Stan Payne, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
Stan Payne is a principal with the management consulting firm Summit Strategic Partners in Melbourne, Florida.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.